Get started this morning in our Sunday school hour. And in a few moments here, we are going to test Cleo's reading of the genealogy. And we're going to look at some things here, and we're going to see how well he'll do here. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 5 this morning. But before he comes up, just a little bit of review and backing up and looking at some things. And as the genealogy develops here, last week we were talking about Cain and his genealogy. And again, a better answer to the question that I was asked, why it doesn't say here in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 24 that why it doesn't say Cain died, and then you get to the genealogy of Abraham down through to Noah, and it talks about their ages and talks about their death. What you find in the Bible, the genealogy that is kept track of is from Adam to Christ. And with Cain, Cain chose, as we saw in verse number 16 of chapter 4, Cain chose to leave the presence of the Lord. His genealogy was not tracked. And as you go and look in the other in other genealogies of the Bible, what you will also see and find out when you look through them and you study them out, if they're for example, in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, the genealogy there, it will say when it talks about the kings and who followed who, sometimes it'll say, he didn't follow God, or he didn't walk in the steps of his father, indicating that although he was in the lineage going from Adam to Christ, he did not follow the Lord. And what's important here, because what's really interesting, is after the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have any more recorded genealogy. And I just just that being very interesting there. And Cain, because he chose to leave the presence of the Lord, his genealogy stopped. In 24 here, and that's all we hear of Cain. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to make a couple more comments here, and then we'll continue on with our lesson. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you so much this morning, Lord, for the day that you've given us, Lord, another week that you have given us with the opportunity to serve you. And now, Father, I pray that you would bless and during our Sunday school time and our study here in the Word of God, and we'll just love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, a couple more comments here in chapter 4, just kind of going over last week, what we have from Genesis chapter 4, from 16 to 24. We see the abandonment of Cain. That's the first thing that's noticed here in verse number 16, the abandonment of God by Cain. God didn't leave Cain, Cain left God. And that's really important for us to understand, God didn't leave Cain, Cain left God. Then you go down to verse number 19, and Cain, as it talks about Cain starting his the city of Enoch and into the land of Nod that he went into, and we see the spiritual condition of Cain, and then we see the spiritual condition of Cain's descendants. In verse number 19, it talks about Lamech, and he took on two wives, and we'll notice if you think about this a little bit, we see a little bit of that here today as well, because what took place is he took two wives. This was the first time recorded in the Bible that a man took two wives. And of course, again, as I said last week, I don't know why a man would want to do that. One wife is good enough, and don't need two. But again, what began to happen here and what was taking place here, not only just taking a wife, two wives, it was about beauty and sex, and it was about the body and sex, and beginning the the worship of the body. And again, what we see in our world today by the mutilation of bodies today, you know, where boys are trying to be girls and girls are trying to be boys, and things started a long time ago before that, because the piercings, the tattoos, and it's a worship of adorning the body. And then again, going into the sexual aspect of it, where today we have homosexuality. They even had it back in those days, and again, all the perverseness that's going on. And then the last thing that I'll mention there is in the bottom, when it speaks of Cain, and the thoughts in his heart. And his imaginations, things just continued to get worse and carry on, and so that's what we see from the genealogy of Cain. And then in verses 25 through 26, then what we have there is it talks about Adam, how he knew his wife again, and he had a son, and that son's name was Seth. And it says there, for God said, in verse number 25 at the end of the verse there, it says, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And verse number 26 is the important part. And to Seth, and to him also was born a son, and called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And so what we wind up here with at the end of chapter number 4, we wind up with two different complete opposites. We have a group of people that are following the Lord and calling upon the name of the Lord, and we have a group of people that are living in sin, and again, both by choice, and both by choosing that. And so now, what we're going to do is we're going to get into chapter number 5, and we're going to follow the first genealogy, which will take us from, and we may not finish it all today, but will take us from Adam all the way to Noah at this particular time. And so, Cleo, if you'll come up and if you'll read for us, and you can go ahead and read the entire chapter there of and this will give you practice, because you might wind up doing it again next week. Genesis chapter 5.
Good morning, friends. Good morning. What a glorious morning. It's beautiful outside. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 865 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 180 years and 7 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 and 2 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 960 and 9 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
All right, and again, what we see here this morning is we see the first godly genealogy listed in the Bible. And again, the significance and the importance of this is God had promised Eve that she would have a seed, and that seed would be the Savior of the world. And again, as we talked about, the importance of the genealogies now in the Bible is so that we understand and so that we know from Adam all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the promised seed. Now, again, speculation here. Some folks believe or think that the names that we see here were probably the firstborn sons. Which could be or could not be, because there at the end of each section here, when it talks about who was living and when they died, and it ends up with saying they had sons and daughters. And the reason I bring that out, because I really believe this is I think it's important and significant. Man has always, a man from the very beginning, God created with a free will. Every man has a free will. There is no one that God created with the purpose and intent of sending them to hell. Each man makes that decision on their own. And each man makes the decision, just like we do, to either receive Christ or to be godly or to be ungodly. And it doesn't really mean necessarily where you fall in your family, in your family, where you're the firstborn or you're the lastborn or you're the middleborn. It doesn't matter where you were born. And so, again, as I look at this, and these are just some kind of speculation and thing that, I just wanted to kind of bring out here that it's not necessarily that these men that are named here in the genealogy were the firstborn son, because, again, the good example of that is Seth. He was actually Adam's third son. And so now, as we get to looking into this, and some really, I really kind of find it very interesting as I was studying here, and we're going to look at the first couple verses here, and it says here in verse number 1, and this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now, the Bible talks about the creation of Adam, and Adam was created in the image of God. And it says here that in the likeness of God made he him. And then as we go down, it says, and male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, it's really kind of interesting. There's two things here, and the reason I went down to verse number 4 there. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them in his likeness. And again, so what does that tell us about Adam and Eve? What that tells us about Adam and Eve, that when God created them, the significance there was in this event that they were in the likeness of God. So they were perfect, they were holy, created in the likeness of God. They were in perfection, they were in holiness, they were in love, and they were in spirit. And again, what we look at here is we see the life of Adam and Eve. After their fall, there was never anyone quite like them again, because they were created in the image and the likeness of God. And more importantly, because what the Word of God tells us here, that it's in verse number 1, it says, in the likeness of God made he him. And so Adam and Eve, they were perfect. Their minds were perfect. They were holy. They were without sin. They loved. They didn't have to be told to love. It was automatic. They were in the spirit. They were completely different than any person that has been born since. We know they were not born, they were created. When I was thinking about this point, I was thinking of John. I was thinking of Gabriel, and a little boy, young, sweet, a good boy, but he was not made in the likeness of God. He was made in the likeness of Adam. Or he was made in the likeness of Seth. And let me point that out to you, because this is really, I really found this very interesting, because in verse number 4, it says, and in the days of Adam, after he begat Seth, he was 800, let's back up here, verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, that's very interesting when we look at that. God created Adam and Eve in his image, after his likeness. When Seth was born, he was created in the image and the likeness of his father, which was Seth. Now, hang in here with me for a minute as we think about this. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they made the transformation from being perfect. And we've talked about this before. What they gave up, they had a perfect mind. They had perfect bodies. They had so much. And when they sinned, they gave all of that up. And they, as adults, made the physical transition from being perfect, being without sin, having a perfect mind, having a perfect, healthy body, and a lot of things that we have to learn, they didn't have to learn because they had it. Because they were created in the image and in the likeness of God, and they were perfect. Now, when Seth was born and Seth began to have children, it was completely different. The children of Seth were born in his image, as it says here, male and female. After Adam and Eve, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and he called their name Adam. Now, again, an interesting point there before we get too far down the road here. The word Adam, his name, means earth man. And what's significant about that is just the humility. And that name was given to man and woman, the name Adam and Earth Man, because the significance of that is that God took dirt and created life. And the humility of taking the very basic of what we have here on the earth, what we as kids used and made dirt pies out of, and tried eating some of them. What God did is He took that dirt and formed it and put it together, and as the Bible tells us, breathed into it the breath of life and created a human being. So then, as it tells us here, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. And it's interesting here because now Adam and Eve is producing what they have become. Now, when God created them, they were created in the image of God. They were created perfect. But here in verse, what it tells us is that He blessed them and called their name Adam. In verse number, and Adam lived, and we'll get to it here in a minute, and he begat a son in his own image, verse number 3, in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And that's really interesting, because as we go through and we look at this, God created man in his likeness, in his image, that's in perfection, in holiness, in love, and in spirit. And God created both male and female. He created them in love, comfort, and health to care, to work. And God blessed the man and the woman, and He gave them. They received glorious benefits. Now, as we get to Seth, the second thing that we look at here, that's the first thing. The second thing that we look at here is the significance of Adam had a son in his likeness. And Adam's son, Seth, was born and had was not perfect. And he was not created in, he was created in the image and the likeness of Adam and Eve. And so the difference we have there is Seth was the fruit of fallen man, and what he had, and the difference that we see here, a perfect human nature would be absolutely perfect without any flaws or defects, but a fallen human nature is the exact opposite. A fallen human nature is full of defects and flaws. A fallen human nature has an imperfect body and mind. Now, what's really interesting, and Brother Brett and I, we were talking about this the other day at the hospital, because of sin and because of the fall of man, even at conception, when a child is conceived, they begin to die. From the very moment they live, they begin to die, and that's really kind of hard for us sometimes to kind of get our heads all wrapped around that, because as you know we think about that, but again, because the seed that they came from was no longer a perfect seed, was no longer a godly seed. And so there are defects and flaws, a fallen nature, it has defects and flaws, and a fallen nature has an imperfect body and mind. It's subject to sickness, disease, and accident, has a limited capacity of to learn, experiences pain and suffering, loneliness, sheds tears, sadness, sorrow, grief, in sinful corruption, and dies. And this is the seed that Adam and Eve produced through Seth. What we see here is we see the effects of sin. And again, as we look through the genealogy and we see the ages there. Because we live in a society, in a world, and we talk about evolution and how things are getting better, and their theory of how man, crawled out of the water and then became a monkey and then dropped its tail because it's progressing and getting better. Well, what we see here in the Word of God in the genealogy, we see that men lived a good long time. 800 years. I went through and I marked down from Adam to the end of his life. He lived a total of 930 years, and then Seth to the end of his life. He lived 912 years, Enos from his life to the end was 905 years. And then Cana, to the end of his life, was 910 years. Now, unless my math fails me until we get here to Methuselah, as we go through there and we look Mahalan to Jared was 895 years. And then from Jared to the end of his life was 962 years. What we see here, yes, there are a few exceptions of where the amount of years goes up, but in general, they fall. For example, how many people today do we know that are 900 years old? Now I'm not talking about how we feel. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I feel like I might be 900 years old. But the average lifespan today, I believe that they have set it at about 80 years old. And that is the average lifespan, and generally a lot less than that. But that's a far cry from 900. And so what we see as the world continues on, and as sin continues in the world, and as sin continues to reign in the world, which it will until the return of until the Lord Jesus Christ and God destroys the earth, but things are getting worse, not better. So we see this through the genealogy of the first genealogy there, and we see the difference, and we can kind of guess and maybe dream of how it may have been if Adam and Eve had not sinned. We would be living right now in a perfect society. We would be living forever. The world would not be cursed. Things would not have taken place the way that they have taken place. But those are things that we can just dream about, because praise the Lord, when we get to heaven and we take on our glorified body, we'll be restored back to what God actually intended for us a while back. And again, as we look at that and the difference, third significant thing in this passage, again, is God being faithful, God's faithfulness in fulfilling the promise that he made. Because again, he promised that he promised Eve that there would be a seed that came from her that would be the Savior of the world. And so what we see in this seed as we go through is we see God being faithful and fulfilling his promise of that seed that, as the Bible says, one day would come, as God told Eve, one day would come, and his heel would be bruised, and the serpent, Jesus' heel would be bruised, and the serpent's head would be bruised. And so what we see in the fulfillment here of God showing us and fulfilling his promise, and that promised seed went through Seth. He became the first son of a godly line of people, a godly heritage. And that's important for us to understand as we look at these genealogies. The fourth significant thing in this passage that we'll that we look at and we see this morning is that man died. Adam lived 930 years, and he died. And again, I remember Adam when God created him, he was perfect, and the purpose of man when God created him was to live forever. But God warned Adam that his disobedience, or if he took of the forbidden fruit, and that he was choosing to turn away from God. He was choosing to walk his own way in his own life. He was being disobedient and rebellious against God. And the tragic thing about that is he turned and he rebelled against God, and his disobedience of God walking with him. And again, what we see here is as we produce who we are. We produce who we are. And when we choose or reject God, when we raise our children, that is passed on to them. Now, again, everybody has a free will. And so parents, and teaching their children, godly parents taught their children about God and to follow him and to worship him and to worship him. And what we see also in this genealogy is the teaching of godliness, the teaching in the godly line, because we also, as we reflect back with Cain, we have two opposite people groups upon the face of the earth during this time. You have those who were running from the Lord, running from the presence of the Lord, and their sin continued to get worse and worse. And obviously, and we're going to see this when we get into next week with the flood, obviously those groups begin to intermingle, because when the flood came, there was only 8 survivors of the flood. Everyone else was destroyed. And again, what that shows us, you say, well, you know, why is that significant? Why is that important? Again, everyone has a free will. As we've talked about before, we a lot of times we give the devil more credit than he's due. You know, we've heard the statement, you know, the devil made me do it. Well, no, the devil doesn't make you do it. We get in messes in our life, and things go wrong, and I know these things don't help, but a lot of times what we do to justify what we're doing in our life, we blame it on our parents. We blame it on how we was raised, or we blame it on an event that took place in our life. And what we need to understand is each one of us are responsible for our conduct. Just because something may have taken place in your childhood, or just because your parents maybe didn't raise you in church, you are still responsible for your own soul, or for accepting or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your own soul, but for rejecting or accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. What we see here, that godly parents taught their children about God, to follow him, to worship him. all the persons listed here were believers, and they followed God and worshiped the living God. And again, that's why we have this genealogy, and not everybody's mentioned, but these folks, because they were people who followed and believed in God. And all the persons listed here are covered cover many generations, but they're all from one family. In the genealogy here, it covers multiple generations, but we can back them up, and they came out of one family, which was Adam and Eve. And and some of the children listed to the witness of their parents, but not all. Cain had the same godly parents, Adam and Eve, as Seth, but Cain rejected his parents and rebelled against God. And apparently many children also did the same thing. Just because you might have a Christian home doesn't necessarily mean that your children will turn out right. Because everyone has their own free will. Cain, he had the example of his of Abraham, or I'm sorry, not Abraham, Adam. There we are. He had the example of Adam. Adam sinned, and Adam and Eve sinned, and they fell. But obviously, who taught Cain and Abel what they were to give? Who taught Cain and Abel where they were to go and worship? And as the Bible tells us, it says in the process of time. So there came a point when Cain and Abel grew up, and they got to the place where they needed to go and present themselves to God. And Cain chose to follow his own will. Cain chose to follow something else. Cain chose to rebel, but Abel, he done what he had been taught. He did what he was supposed to have done. And so, again, in this list of genealogy, what we see here is we see a list of godly people. And also in this genealogy, what we see is Enoch, he's somebody that I would like to be. Because it points out here in the genealogy that Enoch lived 605 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, 60 and 5 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And, it's amazing in here to see that the different people and the godly heritage that through all this genealogy, what we see, and then it gets us all the way down here to Noah, and in verse number 29 here, and it says, and he called his name Noah, Lamech. He called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And again, what we see here is we see a man that when the Lord saw him, the Bible says that he had grace on him, a man that was following, and a man that would bring comfort to us. And we'll talk more about Noah here in the next week. But basically, now what we have here up until chapter 6, we have two lines. We have the line of Cain, and we have the line of Seth. We have an ungodly people, and we have a godly people. And again, in our lives, we have a choice. We can either walk with the Lord, or we can reject the Lord. And again, primarily who we are is what we produce. And again, as I speak with parents and encourage you to raise your children for the Lord, teach your children right. Now, that may not guarantee that they'll go right, but if you teach them right, the chances of them going in the right direction, because the Bible says, and the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And again, that doesn't mean that they're not going to that they're going to live a perfect life. That may not mean that they have a time where they run from the Lord, but there'll be a time that they come back to God. And again, they come back because of the training that they were given. And again, that verse, train up a child in the way that they should go. Again, the significance of that is you direct the child. So many times, mom and dad, we spend too much time trying to be our children's friend. God did not put you on earth to be your child's friend. God put you on earth to direct your child. And again, train up a child in the way that they should go. That doesn't mean that they're going to want to go there willingly. What that's talking about is you grab a hold of them and you point them in the direction that they should go. And we ought to do that. Because we do live in a society today where too many parents are trying to be their child's friend. You know, if you're your child's parent now and you train and teach them now, one day you'll be their friend. You want to lose your child? Be their friend now. Give in. Let them have what they want. Put no restrictions on them. Let them do what they want to do. And I guarantee you, when they walk out the door, that'll probably be about the last time you see them. And they're not going to want to have anything to do with you. And I thank the Lord, and I've shared with you all, and praise the Lord, he's here, the testimony of my son. We raised him. We were not perfect parents, but we did the very best that we knew how, and definitely gave it a good try, raised him according to the Word of God. And when he got older and it was time for him to go out on his own, he got tired of people telling him what to do. And he didn't want to go to school, so he joined the Marine Corps. And when they found out he was bilingual, they sent him to college and sent him to school. And they didn't ask him, would you like to? This is what they gave him. This is the job they assigned him to do. But again, a long story short, he ran from the Lord for quite a while, for a good time. But there was a point in his life, and all of the time, while he was running, he recognized that he would need to return. And that he was planning on returning. And I told him, I said, son, you're playing with fire there. You got to be careful, because you may lose that opportunity. But I praise the Lord. He is back, and he's serving the Lord, doing what God wants him to do. And again, today, I said all that to say this. I have a friendship with my son. I have a friendship with my daughter. But you know, now they never verbally said it, and I never verbally said it to my parents either, even though maybe sometimes I thought it, maybe accused them of hating me. And maybe I might even thought in my mind, I hate them. If your child looks at you and says, I hate you, well, first of all, what you need to do is turn them over and give them a good whooping. I mean, just let them have it. Don't ever let your child be disrespectful. But again, count on it, and just kind of think to yourself and look to yourself, hey, I must be doing a pretty good job. But they will come back around. If you raise a child right and you raise a child in the Lord, they will come back around one day. And again, as we see the evidence of the Bible, if you don't raise your children right, it's just going to get worse in generation. As we look at what we have in our world today, how did we get to where our country was founded to where we are today? Well, moms and dads that quit teaching the Word of God, moms and dads that quit doing their responsibility that they should do. And so we're going to go ahead and close this time in prayer, and we'll get back here in about 10 minutes for the 11 o'clock hour. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that we can see the genealogy of Cain and where it ended and why, and know and understand why it stopped there. But then, Lord, to be able to see the genealogy of from Abraham to Noah at this particular time, Lord, where we can see that you were faithful and you were true, and that you fulfilled your promise in yourself by coming and dying for our sins. And now, Father, I pray that you would bless us in this next hour. Have your will and your way. In your name we pray. Amen.